Please turn with me to Psalm 91. I'll be referring to various verses in this psalm, but I will begin our time together in God's Word by reading verse 12. Let's begin at verse 11 to get the subject. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Now, it was about a month ago that Cindy suggested to me that we ask our entire family to read Psalm 91 every day from Thanksgiving through to Christmas. And so we made copies of this psalm, and I'm sure that people within our family made an attempt to read this through every day. I had a copy on my desk. And as I read it through every day, you know, this is the power and the richness of God's Word. Every day I began to see more in it. And finally, I was captivated by verse 12. And I've already introduced this concept by sharing it with with Ben and our young adults, that essentially God is assigning the guardian angels the responsibility to see to it that we don't stub our toe. Wesley commented on this verse that God sustains and upholds us as we do a child. God treats us all like children. Now, I'm going to make a little digression. Sometimes I get a little good-natured ribbing because I quote from John Wesley so much. Well, I decided in the interest of the ecumenical side of things, I'll quote from Charles Spurgeon. Anybody know who Charles Spurgeon was? He was probably the greatest Baptist preacher, one of the most famous Baptist preachers of all time. Now, I'll just tell you this for no extra. Charles Spurgeon was saved in a Methodist church, but the Methodists were squabbling. And they'd split after Wesley died. And they disagreed over the governance of their church. And so we lost Charles Spurgeon. Spurgeon went on to London and they had to build a bigger church to accommodate what he had to say. And I've been reading his devotional this whole year and agree with most everything in there. Spurgeon, commenting on this same verse, said that the guardian angels as nurses carry little children with careful love. So shall those glorious spirits upbear every individual believer, even warding off minor ills. And so as you look with me in this psalm, as we live close to God, and this should be at least a part of our resolution for the coming year, we need to be close enough to God that His presence overshadows us. That's how this psalm begins. And as we stay close to Him, He will protect us. First of all, from entrapment. I don't know what translation you may be looking at, but some translations say from the fowler. Well, that needs to be translated. Most people don't know what a fowler is. Do any of you? A fowler was someone who ensnared and trapped birds. Some market for some kinds of birds. And so the whole idea of entrapment, how would you catch a bird? Well, you'd have to set some kind of a net. And sometimes the devil sets a snare for us. Now, there's another interesting analogy in Psalm 91. And there in verse 4, he, referring to God, will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. Don't push that to the point of such literalism that you believe God has wings. Actually, God doesn't have a physical body. But here is the analogy. Here, God is compared to a mother hen. And when there's danger, The mother hen raises her wings, begins to cluck, and the little chicks. And it doesn't matter how old we are, we still need God's protection. He protects us from entrapment. He protects us from danger. Then it goes on to say, He in the daylight hours, He protects us from attack. Now, the wording here is from arrows that fly. Well, you're probably not going to be hit by an arrow. You may be hit by a bullet, but they didn't have bullets back then. And so you understand, whatever is the weapon, we're protected during the daylight from the arrows. We're protected from destruction at noonday. And we're protected from the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. Now, this actually may be a reference to seasons of life, not simply hours in a day. Now, I know it refers to the morning, to the sunlight hours, to midday, and to evening. But there may be some precedent for understanding this as seasons of life. In the previous psalm, Psalm 90, verse 10, it speaks of the length of our days as 70 years or 80. And so you realize there's different seasons of life. We've got young people that are just approaching the prime of life. Then there's, you realize that the temptation, the attack, is going to change based on what period of life we're in. Young people come under attack and are tempted. They're tempted to do things some of us old people couldn't do if we tried. But you see, there are specific dangers to specific points in time. And so this may refer to the span of our life, not simply the hours of our day. But you say, Pastor, that's all well and good, but I've already succumbed. The devil has already ensnared me. The devil has already shot me. I've already fallen. Well, let me give you good news. And I won't dwell long here, but you may want to jot this reference down. Psalm 37, verse 24. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Hey, we don't want to come to church and project the notion that we've got our act together, that we never stumble, never make a mistake. But you know what? Even when I do trip up, even when I do stumble, the Lord can hold my hand. And you know what? If you've stumbled, don't just throw it all out the window. Don't just give up. If you've stumbled, let God pull you back to your feet and just keep on going. That's Psalm 37, verse 24. And so sometimes, even though the angels protect us from stubbing our toes, sometimes it's my fault I stumbled. But God can still forgive me and restore me. Now, I know everyone's sick and tired of 2020, but the same pandemic will carry over as we turn the calendar page to next year. And so it doesn't matter whether we're in the final days of 2020 or beginning all over again in 2021. Look at verse 6. You will not fear the pestilence. Now that's an important word. That stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. Those two words, pestilence and destruction, are synonymous, and they refer to plague, to pestilence, or to death. Today's Living Bible translates this first word as disease. There's even a third word that's brought in at verse 10. That is translated plague in my NIV. And so, yes, we're facing this pandemic. But across human history, there have been many plagues. And we've talked about that. You remember the Black Plague, and you remember at different points in time, there have been other epidemics or pandemics. Let me tell you how the church has responded. Historically, the church has been willing to take personal risk in order to minister to those who were diseased. One of the most popular sociologists writes in a book that one of the primary reasons the early church grew under the pagan Roman Empire is that it showed mercy and compassion during two plagues that came to the world at that time. We're not as familiar, we're more focused on what's happening to us. But in AD 165, there was a worldwide plague that some scholars now have identified as probably smallpox. But did you know it over a 15-year period, it killed a third of the world's population at that time? About 100 years later, in AD 251, there was a second plague, and I don't know exactly what it was. But here's what I'm told, or here's what I'm reading. At the first onset of this disease, the pagans began to push sufferers away. They fled from their dearest, throwing them into the roads before they were dead, and treating unburied corpses as dirt, hoping thereby to avert the spread and contagion of the fatal disease. But do what they might, they found it difficult to escape. You see, there was this hysteria that gripped the world in these periods of pandemics. But the Christians stood out from the norm because rather than deserting their sick, they took care of them. Sometimes just as simply as giving them food and water. And an enormous number of lives were saved in some of those early pandemics simply because we ministered to those in need. And even though it was illegal, even though the church was persecuted, people came to church. And I don't mean just a building, but people were drawn. They were attracted to the church because it was the only institution that offered any hope in a world that was hysterical. But the second thing that the historians tell us is that most Christians who got the plague in those early days survived, and the church got the reputation of working miracles. And so people were attracted because we offered hope and healing in times of crisis. Now, as we enter 2021, we must be driven by a love that leads us to minister and even take risk to help those who are in need. We cannot allow ourselves to be shut down by fear. Now, fear can be valid when it's self-preservation, but paranoia and irrational fear creates a bondage that we don't want to be controlled by. Romans 8 verse 15 says, God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear. Now I would suggest to you, the devil will give it to you if you'll take it, but don't receive it. Use common sense. Use whatever precautions you think are advisable, but do not be captivated by this spirit of fear, because God has promised to protect us. And historically, the church has stood out because we cared for those who were in need and because God protected us to a large degree from the same risks. Now, how are we going to make it through 2021? Well, God will protect us until it's our appointed time. Psalm 31, verse 15 reminds us that our times are in His hands. Job says that our days are determined. God decrees the number of months and sets limits that cannot be exceeded. We're more familiar with the very poetic statement in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. We find in the book of Hebrews, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that to face judgment. And so I believe that God will take care of me until my appointed time. In between my birth and my death, however, He allows me the freedom to set my priorities and to make choices. Don't allow unelected bureaucrats who don't follow their own mandates to tell you how many people can come to church and how many people can sit at your dinner table. Tyrants will try to extend this pandemic as long as possible because it gives them more control over us. If the initial shutdown didn't work, why are they going to do it again? They will continue to cry wolf all through 2021 as long as they can scare people. But remember, they skew their numbers to serve their own agenda. They can tell you whatever serves their purpose. I'm through with it. I'm going to live in freedom. I'm going to live in victory. I'm going to live in faith and hope. I'm going to take every risk that is necessary to minister to as many people in need as I can. And I'm here till God's through with me. I'm not afraid to die. There's a better place in heaven. I'm ready to go. But I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to live in bondage. I got an email from a colleague who told me that his daughter was a nurse at a particular hospital and all the beds were full. Cindy had just shared with me another report that many people were having elective surgeries. And yes, the hospitals were full, but they weren't full of COVID people. It was a mixture. At the very same time, there was a news story running that COVID cases were actually down in the very region that was under discussion. And so within a matter of several hours, I got three reports. One said they were up, one said they were level, another said they were down. Give me 10 minutes, I find on the internet whatever you want it to say. All we know is what we're being told. An MD in our family tested the same patient 5 times before he could go back to work. He tested positive all 5 times, and it was reported to 5 cases of COVID. I know of EMT responders who dealt with a fatality on the interstate out here. They were told to report it as COVID, and if they reported it any differently, they'd lose their job. I don't trust the numbers. They'll tell you whatever they want to tell you. Don't let them scare you. We ought to stand out as people of faith. God will take care of you, and God will take care of me until my time is over. Psalm 91 is my insurance policy, and I'm an authorized insurance agent. I'd like to sign you up as well. You can face 2021 with confidence. The God who doesn't want you to stub your toe will take care of you through the epidemic, through the pandemic, through whatever words we want to use, through the pestilence, through the plague. God's going to bring us through. Hang on. Would you stand with me as we look to Him in closing? Heavenly Father, help us to trust You. Help us to do all the good we can this coming year, and help us not to be in a straitjacket of fear. Dear Lord, intervene. Protect us from viruses, and protect us from politicians, and protect us from Satan, who uses both. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.